I'm not afraid of Michael Eisner, Geffen told Anson. That's why he's so angry with me. Because in this town where people are all about business and making money, I am the only one willing to say the truth. And the truth, in Geffen's view, was that Eisner suffered from character flaws and from something very, very damaged in his background. Michael is a liar, he continued, and anyone who has dealt with him, genuinely dealt with him, knows he is a liar. As for Katzenberg, anybody who worked for me who contributed as much as Jeff Katzenberg, I'd call them chairman of the board. But Michael is a very, very ungenerous guy. He suffers when anyone else shares the credit. I've always said that Michael built Hollywood Records and Euro Disney, and that Jeffrey's responsible for everything else. Geffen made the comments on the understanding that Anson would use them in his book on Disney. But after Anson decided he didn't feel up to writing a Disney book and instead joined Los Angeles Magazine as editor, which Disney acquired through Cap Cities 2 months later, Anson kicked off his tenure by using Geffen's comments about Eisner in an article for the magazine, Geffen Ungloved, which ran in the July 1995 issue of Los Angeles Magazine. Geffen's comments were the talk of Hollywood. Although Geffen was upset that they were taken out of context, he couldn't dispute their accuracy. Anson's next piece criticized Ovitz. He was fired as editor 3 months later for supposedly unrelated reasons. This was exactly the kind of press Ovitz was determined to avoid, and that he feared Katzenberg and his ally Geffen would continue to generate, since both had strong ties to reporters, in contrast to Eisner, who used John Dreyer to avoid them as much as possible. Litigation, the insanity of facing Jeffrey's rage in court, as Geffen so vividly put it, had to be avoided. It ultimately was just not a good thing for the Walt Disney Company to be in a litigation with Mr. Katzenberg, Ovitz later testified, because I felt, A, that Mr. Katzenberg would have an excellent chance of winning based on what I had seen, and B, that it would be bad press for the company, and C, if a deal was struck, they should honor the deal or settle the deal in some way, shape, or form. I knew that it was very important that the company settle this and not let it blow into a press event. Litvak agreed to help Ovitz make the case with Eisner, though he surely knew this was not a view calculated to win Eisner's approval. Eisner initially rejected any idea of allowing Ovitz to try to negotiate a settlement, but Ovitz persisted, with Litvak's lukewarm support, and after several weeks, Eisner finally gave in. Ovitz called Katzenberg, eager to follow through on the pledge he'd made to him at Iger's wedding. "Jeff, I want to talk to you about trying to figure out how to stop all these atrocities that are going on," Ovitz said, the Geffen comments still on his mind. "No problem," Katzenberg replied. "I'll meet you at St. Joseph's in the reception area." St. Joseph's, a hospital in Burbank across the street from the Disney campus, was a place where they were unlikely to be seen by entertainment executives. When Ovitz arrived, Katzenberg was already waiting in a small cafe off the reception area, two Diet Cokes and a bag of Fritos on the table. To Ovitz, the drinks and snacks seemed, under the circumstances, like a peace offering. Katzenberg laid out his case, calmly and without anger. He said he only wanted what his contract guaranteed.